It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be here with you today, and welcome to the audience. It's a great day. Well, we're going to have a great show today. We're going to be talking about accountability. Do you use the carrot or the stick? But so, as we said at the start of the show, our topic for today is accountability, carrot or stick. You know, this really ties into last week's show, which last week we talked about goal setting. And we specifically spent quite a bit of time talking about what you need to do even before you set your goals. So just a quick reminder, because both of these sessions kind of tie in, a quick reminder of those tasks that you have to do before you even set the goals is, one, develop a purpose statement. This is a statement that takes into account how you're qualified, where you're effective, and where your passion is directing you for the whole of your life, or all of what you are for as long as you're going to be. It gives us a reason for the things we do and the lives we live. The second is to establish a vision statement, or a vision of the future that sort of, it gives us the ability to see where we're projecting, the direction that we're going in. It lets us see where we are today and where we want to be going to. The third is that M word, the mission statement, which really is the action side of the purpose statement. So the purpose statement is what motivates you, what drives you to live, and the mission statement is what are you doing about it. And then the fourth thing is a strategy. You know, too often people develop goals and don't have a strategy. It's like, you know, fighting battles without a strategy picture for how we're going to win the war. You might win the battle but lose the war. So you need a strategy that sort of evaluates the resources you have on hand and the opportunities that are available to you. And it allows you to manage how we invest ourselves in achieving our life plan. And then we can set goals that hopefully harmonize rather than clash with one another. And these goals make it possible to choose the best areas in which to invest ourselves and to bypass anything. Yes, bypass. See, goals not only direct us where to put our efforts, but maybe even more important, they tell us where not to put our efforts. It helps us resist those bright, shiny balls that distract us. So that was kind of the things you need to do before you have a goal. Now, once you have goals, you know, what are you going to do to accomplish them? How are you going to make them work? And that's what accountability is about. So today we're going to kind of focus on the five steps needed to accomplish those goals once you've set them and how accountability fits into that. The first thing you need to do is you need to prioritize your goals. You know, all of us have more than one goal. We have too many usually. And you can't do everything at once, so you need to rank the goals in terms of which ones are more important to you. And once you've done this, you can then identify which you really have the time to work on now and which are going to have to wait till later. You know, just because you can't get to a goal now doesn't mean it's a bad goal. It just means it's not the right time to work on that goal. The second thing that you have to do once you've prioritized all those goals that you've set is you have to work on visualizing the benefits or the losses that you would achieve by either achieving these goals or by not. You know, all athletes know the benefits of visualization, that game of seeing in your mind the results of achieving your goal. You know, the runner who pictures himself in the starting blocks and the gun goes off and he's ahead of everybody else and he's running down the stretch and he's passing runners and he sees the finish line coming up and he breaks the tape and he hears the crowd. The more detailed you can make that visualization, the more you actually trick your mind and even your body to some extent into believing that this has really already happened. And that's what we want to do with creating a visual statement of those goals. We want to visualize what would be the benefits of really achieving those goals. You know, if you can't see winning or achieving the goal, then I can guarantee you, you won't. You know, another way of looking at this is that if the benefits, the picture of winning, is not bigger than the efforts that it's going to take to work on the goal to get there, then we've got the wrong goal. You have to look at the other side of it, too. I don't want to be negative, but you have to look at what would things be like if you failed or never achieved this goal. Many of the clients that I work with are, frankly, more motivated by fear of failure or fear of losing something than they are by what they're going to achieve by winning. Frankly, it doesn't make any difference to me whether you're motivated by winning or motivated by fear of losing. Either way, just so long as you understand what that motivation is and it's strong enough and clear enough that, in fact, you're going to overcome those obstacles that are keeping you from achieving that goal. And many times those obstacles are really our self-limiting beliefs. You know, there was a great article in the May issue of Success Magazine. Actually, it was an editorial written by the publisher and editor, Darren Hardy. And it was titled, The Stories We Tell Ourselves. And let me just share with you that opening paragraph. He says, you know, we are all excellent storytellers. We have a story for everything. We have a story for why we can't lose weight, stick to our diets, jog, do push-ups, get up early, eat healthy, exercise regularly, and stay disciplined. We say, I'm big boned. It's bad for my knees. I don't have time. I'm too old. It's impossible when I travel. I deserve a reward. It's fat-free. They're starving children in China. Whatever it is, we've got a story on why we can't achieve something. Those are the self-limiting beliefs that keep many of us from really succeeding and achieving our goals. What you have to do here when you set a goal is you have to look at, are there any self-limiting beliefs? What are they? And then you have to look at, what is the pain that that belief is causing you? How is this affecting you right now? And then you have to look at, how can I change that self-talk that says, oh, Doug, you're not smart enough, you're not quick enough, you're not young enough, you're not old enough, whatever. How can I rewrite that self-talk in a positive way that takes away those self-limiting beliefs? You know, once we've done that, then we can really set the goal and we can then execute to win. So the issue there, along with the visualization, is to identify, what are we going to get out of winning this thing? Let's visualize the benefits. Make sure they're worth the effort. Visualize the pain if we're not going to achieve this goal. We're going to lose our job. We're going to lose our spouse. I mean, what is going to be the result of not winning this goal? And think about, are there self-limiting beliefs about ourselves, negative self-talk that keeps us from achieving the goals? Now, the next thing that you have to look at is you have to look at what you're going to give up, you know, and think of time management here. We're all fully committed right now. So if we're going to take on something new, a new goal, or we're going to change the way we do something, the goal might be to spend more time on something or less time on something, then we have to give up something else or reduce our involvement in something else. And you tell me you have no time to take on any new goals. Well, you know, it just so happens that today, Thursday morning, cover page of the Wall Street Journal has an article, results of a survey that was done by the Labor Department, says, where does the day go? And they break down and compare how we spend our day and where it goes. Now, for what we're talking about here, there's a couple of interesting statistics. We tend to say we don't have time to work on something new, and yet 3.25 hours daily are spent on TV and the internet. And based on a little bit of information they gave me on the background of that survey, I think that may be very conservative when it comes to the internet. They actually break it down about 2.5 hours on TV and about a half hour, or a little more than a half hour, on the internet weekdays. I would guess it's quite a bit more. The other thing is that a separate study showed recently that at work, 28% of our time at work, let me repeat that, 28% of our time at work is spent on emails. I can't tell you how many coaching calls I have where the client starts out with, oh man, my day, all I've done is emails all day long. Nothing, I don't get to anything else. So, you know, the issue that we don't have time, we have lots of time if we're really willing to reorganize how we spend that time and look at it differently. The other thing I like people to look at, or I like my clients to look at, is what's life going to be like after achieving your goal? This is sort of different from the visualization. The visualization exercise has to do with what is it going to look like to win? And life after achieving your goal is, well, now that you've won and it becomes a routine, what is life, how is it going to be different? You know, is it going to be a little bit different? Is it going to be a big difference in your life? Is it, all of these things are evaluating these questions, and the answers to these questions really speak to the issue of how important is this goal? How committed are you to really working on this? Because I have to tell you that I get a lot of people saying, Doug, do you do accountability coaching? I go, yeah, I do accountability. Well, I need you to help me achieve this thing. I've been trying to do this for years, and I just don't seem to be able to do it. And after we talk about it for a while, it becomes really obvious that they're probably never going to accomplish that goal because they're not really committed to it. So the first thing you want to do is really look at these issues and identify the priority, the visualization, the gains, the losses, what you're willing to give up, what's life going to be like later. And then we can get to what I want to talk about today is establishing an accountability system. You know, do you need one? What is it? And how do you get one? Now, I have to tell you that I'm not a big fan of this word accountability. It just isn't very friendly sounding. When people talk about making me accountable, it makes me feel like a small child who needs supervision. You know, and maybe that's why we use so many other words to convey the same thing. I mean, it could be accountability. We could be talking execution, delegation, management, micromanagement, follow-up, culpability, answerability, liability, obliged, duty, commitment. Still not feeling any friendlier about all of this. So let's look. What does the dictionary say about accountability? It says, a situation in which people know who is responsible for something and can ask them to explain its state or quality. Maybe that's why we don't like the term accountability. People know whose responsibility. Doesn't sound like there's any wiggle room left there. Now, you know, some coaches distinguish between accountability coaching, which is developing a learning system for doing something, and what they call mindset coaching, which is changing your mental attitude about approaching or accomplishing something. Now, I myself, I don't really see the distinction there, and I believe that part of accountability coaching is making sure that your mindset is consistent with what you're trying to achieve. So we're going to look at the steps of what I go through with a client. And keep in mind that I have maybe this broader definition of accountability than some other coaches might. The process I use in accountability coaching. Obviously, number one is the coaching agreement. Coaching agreement for accountability coaching is pretty simple. I let the clients know that if you do not work on this on a regular basis as we've defined, I will stop coaching you. If you decide that you're no longer interested in achieving this goal, you must let me know and we will stop coaching together. You can get, you know, I make it real clear in accountability coaching in a very blunt, much more blunt way than I normally do, that if you're not really going to follow through with this as we lay out the schedule and the program, I don't want to coach you. It's not worth the time and effort to me if you're not willing to put the time and effort in. The second thing is that I have some rules about sharing your goals. We kind of talked a little bit about that last week. You know, sometimes it's necessary to let others know what you're working on, especially in a business environment. However, I discourage sharing the details of the accountability system that we're going to set up and the incremental progress that you achieve with other people. You know, and we've talked about why we do this. Talking about what you're going to do is counterproductive. We end up talking about something and not doing it. You know, scientific studies have shown that we get a lot of personal mental satisfaction out of saying we're going to do something, almost to the point that it isn't necessary to do it anymore. We've gotten the majority of the benefit. So the rule is, you're not really going to get into a whole lot of detail about what's going on here in this accountability program. If you must keep others informed as to your progress, then we're going to identify in the system milestone points at which you're going to do that. Other than that, accountability coaching is a big black box between you and me. Now, the next thing we've got to do is make sure that we're working on the right goals. This involves asking, what are the benefits of achieving the goals, and what are the losses if you don't achieve it? Sounds easy, but in practice, I found that the first response to these questions is not usually the core answer. People generally respond with what is expected of them or what someone else said they should do, and it usually takes a few more probing questions to get down to the with them, what's in it for me, meaning the client, answers. Many times we discard goals for a future date as a result of this opening dialogue. We find out that they aren't really committed. I mean, many times people come to me and they go, I need help in achieving these goals. We go through, what would it look like if you won? What would it look like if you lost? We talk about, do you really want to achieve these? And what I really find out is that somebody else said they should go back to school and get their master's, but they really don't care about getting their master's. So that's why they've been putting it off. Well, then, you know, unless you can change that mental attitude, you're never going to get committed enough to make this goal work. And the only way you're going to commit it is to really identifying that the benefits are really greater than the sacrifices that are going to be needed. Even before that, we want to look at some of the answers to these questions. You know, what are your other options besides achieving this goal? You know, sometimes there's other ways to get to the same endpoint other than what you're trying to work on. Gee whiz, I am struggling. I want to write a book. I just can't write a book. I need you to hold me accountable to spend 2 hours a day writing. Well, maybe after we talked about this, we might identify that the best thing for you is to get a ghostwriter and for you to not do the physical writing. So we want to look at other options. We want to look at, what are the risks involved in doing this or not doing this? You know, there is some risk even in achieving a goal because things will change. They will be different. We need to look at whether this is the right time for you to work on this particular goal. Hey, it's great that you want to get a master's. I agree that getting your master's or your doctorate degree is the right thing to do. But right now, you maybe just got out of school. You've got a new family starting. You're in a new job. You've relocated to a new city. Maybe there's too many things going on right now for you to really devote the time and attention that's necessary to achieve this goal. And we need to set it aside and say, this is our goal for next year or for the year after. One of the questions that's really hard for the clients to answer is, I ask them, do you have the staying power to stay with this goal? Now, understand that what we're talking about here today is not short-term goals, not something that can be accomplished in 2 weeks or even 3 weeks. We're talking about big goals, goals that might take some period of time, maybe a couple of months or maybe longer than a couple of months, maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. So the question is, hey, it sounds good to get started. You got a lot of energy, a lot of passion about getting started. But how are you going to feel about this month 6, week 24? Are you still going to have the staying power to do this? You know, are you going to be able to stick with it and achieve the goal? I might ask them, have you asked anybody else for advice? I mean, you're asking me to hold you accountable, but is there somebody else that might be better at holding you accountable? You know, is there somebody, you know, that maybe you want to, you know, in school, how many times have I seen people get together and create study groups because they held each other accountable? They could have gone outside and hired an accountability coach, but hey, didn't it make more sense to actually work with other people that were in the same environment you were in, trying to achieve the same kind of goals, that you could work back and forth, you could quiz each other, you could share knowledge, you could share tips on how to pass the test or exam or whatever you're doing? So I always wanted to know, is there any somebody else that you should be looking to get advice on this goal? What has kept you from starting to work on this goal before this conversation? What are you afraid of that's kept you from pulling the trigger, from getting going on this? Or why have you started this thing 10 times? What caused you to fail the last 10 times you started this project? So we want to get down to it, because really, when you're talking about accountability as a method of achieving goals, it does have as much to do with somebody's mental commitment, their psychic commitment, as it does with where they're physically going to sit and how much time they're going to put in. You know, you want to make sure that these are the right goals for you, not just popular goals. And, you know, when all of that's done, I sometimes ask the client, you know, before we get started, it might be a good idea for you to just kind of validate this decision by, I don't know, what works for you. Some quiet time to think about it. Don't make a decision right now with me. Think about this. Let's talk about it next week. Maybe praying about it is the way you deal with issues. Making sure all of these, making sure, trying to get to that question of, are you serious about achieving this goal? Is it important enough that you're going to be serious about working on it? So once we've determined that the goal is the right one, then what we want to look at is, what will you have to give up to achieve it? Is it going to cost you money or time or prestige? You know, are you going to have to give up TV at night so that you can put the time in to study for this class? Are you going to have to give up maybe a promotion at work so that you don't take on more responsibilities while you're doing some expanded work to broaden your horizons for the future? I don't know what it would be, but everything, every goal worth going after ends up costing us something, either in time or money or whatever. So we want to look at, what are going to be the costs of doing this, and are you willing to make those changes? You know, I had somebody who was talking to me about working on a project, and they wanted to jump in and do it right away, and we talked about how much time they're going to devote to it. And then it turned out that, well, the next week they were going to be gone on vacation. Well, I mean, okay, this, we had to have a serious conversation about this. Taking a vacation is important. I wasn't going to advocate that this person disrupt the family and not take their vacation. But at the same time, we had to look at, is this the right time to start? Do we wait till you come back to start? Or do we start on a modified basis? Or are you able to commit to do a little bit of what's required on your vacation, but not as much as normal? So we've looked at the goal. It's the right goal. What's it going to cost us? The next step is to design, of course, with the client's approval and support, a system for helping him or her to achieve that goal. You know, I'm obviously, or any coach, we're obviously not going to do any of the work. So what's the coach's role here? It goes to the title of our talk today. Is it to provide a carrot or to use the stick? You know, we need to use both the carrot, which means providing motivation to the client, encouragement, and emotional support. And we need to use the stick, which means calling them on their excuses and pushing them when they need a push. The stick part's always the toughest for me since I hate to be the bad guy. But like they say, someone has to do it. And just so long as the emphasis is on the motivation most of the time, then, you know, personally, I'm okay with using the stick occasionally. And you have to get agreement as to what the stick's going to be. Now, for a goal that's a longer-term goal, you want to look at, are we setting some milestones in addition to an end date? How are we going to know, other than waiting till the very end, let's say this is a three-month project, I don't want to wait till the last day before the end of the 3 months to find out that you haven't done 20% of the work. So we're going to set up some milestones where we can take a breath and say, hey, we've achieved this much. We can celebrate. Or the milestones might be the points at which we keep others informed of our progress. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have some serious talk about the fact that it's going to take a near act of God to change the end date that we're going to set here. In other words, falling behind on doing the work is not an excuse for changing the end date. It is a good reason for changing your future daily commitments to reach the end date. So remember this, we all have a tendency to overestimate what we can do in the short term and underestimate what we can do over the long haul. You know, those pennies saved, which seem like nothing, compound interest, mount up to a lot of money long term. So we want to look at, you know, we want to finish the race and we don't want to kill the horse while we're racing. So we look at that. We want check-in systems, which are essential to any kind of accountability program. It could be daily or weekly emails or calls. I like to use daily email on the progress and a weekly phone call to assess how we're doing. And also it gives me a chance to sort of take the temperature of the client's level of commitment. Are they still committed to what we set out to achieve? Do they need some motivation at this point? That's hard to tell through an email. So a once a week quick phone call is very effective. In the daily email, I want to know what they did, either the time they put in on the task or the steps that we outlined that were accomplished. You know, so if we decided that the goal is one that we're going to measure by 2 hours a day, okay, did you spend your 2 hours? Or if the goal is one that says you're going to go from step one to three in this day, you're going to do three steps a day, then I want to know how they did on that. So we want to set up a system. I also want to know, in addition to what they put in, I want to know how they felt about what they did. Did they get a sense of satisfaction out of accomplishing today's efforts? And if not, why? You know, there's no way we are going to keep doing something every day if it's totally unpleasant to us. So if it isn't working, if the commitment isn't creating some level, the success, even the daily success, isn't creating some level of satisfaction, then we need to relook at designing this because you're probably not going to stick with it long term. The next thing we have to do is we have to constantly reassess the system. You know, it is not unusual once the work has started on a long-term goal to find that the steps that were initially identified to achieve the goal are either not right, the right steps, or they're not in the right sequence. So we need to use caution here to be sure that we're correcting an error in our assumptions or reacting to some changed circumstances and not just watering down the goal to make it easier because we're getting tired. You know, if you're not making the progress we anticipated, we need to have a detailed conversation to identify why. Many times the issue is a lack of focus during the time that you were supposed to be working on the goal, and you need to evaluate what's causing this lack of focus. Lack of focus is a big issue these days. I'm telling you that, you know, people are putting in time but not being productive. And the reason is the constant interruptions, the emails, the phone calls, whatever it is. So we always talk at the beginning about where are you going to sit? Where are you going to be physically when you work on this goal? what time of day are you going to commit to doing this? Are you a morning person, a night person? What are you going to do before you work on the goal, and what are you going to do after? Those things impact your emotional work. You know, I had a client that sent me an email just the other day and said, you know, I put in an hour last night, I put in an hour this morning, and we had talked about 2 hours, but yet what he had accomplished in that period of time was exactly what we talked about accomplishing. So, hey, that was good news. Wasn't a problem. So we want to really look and make sure that in setting up this goal, you've identified the environment that is going to be conducive to you focusing on it, not sitting there putting in the hours, but accomplishing the tasks, working on what you need to do. We need to identify, and this is the last point, we need to identify the celebration points. Don't wait until the end. Recognize achieving intermediate goals. Celebrations reignite the fires of passion around achieving the goal. So, you know, if we've got a 3-month goal, I'm going to really work hard that at least once a month we can identify a milestone that we can sort of take a breather and say, let's take a day off here from our regular schedule. We've accomplished a third of what we were trying to do, or we've accomplished the base work that's needed for the rest of the stuff, or we've got the busy work done. Now we're ready to start the exciting stuff. But celebrations are really key. And as a coach, as an accountability coach, and I hate that word still, as an accountability coach, we need to work hard at positive motivation, at supporting the client, not beating the client. Again, the client doesn't work for me. The whole system fails if he or she is only going to do something because I tell them to do it. They have got to want to do it. And my coaching role is to identify what is it going to take to make them want to do this. They're going to tell me what it's going to take. Can they visualize the benefits? Can they visualize the environment that's going to make it fun to work on this? You know, if they've been working on this goal every week at nighttime when they come home at 11 o'clock and they're just getting nowhere, then that's why they're not achieving it, because that's not a good time for them. They're a morning person. Let's shift it to the morning and work on what they're doing in the morning then. So those are the key points. That's what we're talking about in terms of accountability coaching. Accountability is a, you know, not a friendly word. It's not a difficult concept, but when you think about all the things that have to take place to get this accountability system set up, it's really not that easy, and it's frankly is not done that well or that frequent outside of a coaching environment. You know, whether we're talking about accountability or whether I'm working with a business executive and he says, I've got a problem with delegation, the delegation problem comes back to he doesn't know how to hold people accountable. And so that's what we're talking about here. So I think if this is a subject that is really sort of hitting a sweet spot for you, I'd really strongly recommend that you go back and you find time to listen to last week's program also. If what got you here won't get you there, what will? I think that's sort of the lead in to what we're talking about here, and tie that in with what we're talking about today. And I think you will have information that's really going to make setting goals a lot easier for you and is going to really give you some tips on how to be effective at setting goals and accomplishing what you want in life. So with that, a little bit early today, but hey, that's all I had to say. I just want to say this is Doug Gefeller signing off and thanking you for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed the show today and the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use immediately to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.